Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As you come to worship today on this LWML Sunday, what is it that you are worried about? Yes, I know that any good pastor or well-intentioned brother or sister in Christ might tell you that you should not worry. But we do. All of us. We know we shouldn't. We tell others that they shouldn't. We don't really like it when they tell us not to worry. But somehow the words of "don't worry, be happy" are not our mantra. It doesn't roll off. It may roll off the tongue well, but when it comes to our own lives, it is very difficult to do. This is often the case for us as brothers and sisters in Christ here at Augsburg Emmanuel Lutheran Church, and when we are gathered with other groups of Christians as well. Groups of Christians such as the LWML Zone District, or even at the LWML National Convention. In fact, worry was likely the last thing on the minds of thousands of saints as they gathered together in June 2015, that's this year, in Des Moines, Iowa, as the LWML got together for their 36th biennial convention. The theme of that convention was "Bountiful, so nourish, reap." Now, from what some of you may have experienced or you might have heard about from those that did attend the event, God's children were blessed to be able to sow seeds of faith in those around them and those that God had placed into their path. Those in attendance were reminded of their baptism and God's work through that and the seed of faith that was sown into them through that blessed washing. At that time, they were able to gather together with other women and pastors of the church and be able to worship Him and hear His word from the pulpit, sing songs and hymns with each other, and have discussions of theology and God's word, both at the convention and then at the hotel rooms in the evenings. At that time, they chose the new LWML Mission Grant recipients for the 2015 to 2017 biennium. In selecting these grants, the LWML continues to support them with prayers and offerings. Those in attendance also celebrated the success God gave to His saints in the mission field through the last biennium. Everything was wonderful. For many, there was not a care in the world as they spent time on that mountaintop. But then, Reverend Keith Piotr, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing that properly or not. If you were there, you know, so please forgive me if I mispronounced it. Pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Bettendorf, Iowa, shared God's word and the urgency to leave the mountaintop and to go out into the world, to go out and sow those seeds of faith and then reap so that the Holy Spirit may reap that harvest in each of us and those to whom we may speak. At the conclusion of the divine service, and like it is every Sunday when we conclude the divine service, it was and is time to leave the mountaintop. It's time to go into the work that we have been nourished to do. Praying as we sing the hymn, "'Tis good, Lord, to be here. 'Tis good, Lord, to be here. Yet we may not remain. But since Thou bidst us leave the mount, come with us to the plain." How do we, the redeemed, the bought back sons and daughters of God, respond to this awesome mission challenge our Father places before us? Perhaps we worry as He calls us away from the mountaintop. Perhaps we, like so many of the Israelites and those gathered around Jesus at the time that would hear Him preaching from the mountainside, would not want to leave. They would want to hear, to continue to stay there and continue to hear the Lord's word that they may be nourished. It might be afraid of going out and then spreading that word with others rather than staying and continuing to be nourished. How do we live in this sin-darkened world as ones who have been bought back? Ones who have that good news of Christmas and Easter, the good news of a Savior who came into this world, who died and was buried on that Good Friday so many years ago, and yet 3 days later was raised. Not just for us, but for the entire world, that all who would believe it would have eternal life. How do we share it right here and right now? And I don't mean in this building, I mean when we go out from this building. But here in Augsburg, here at Vandalia, here at Centralia, wherever it is you call home and the surrounding areas. How is it that you share it right? And so often we worry that we're not sharing it right. We might want to say to our pastor, "Pastor, every time you talk about the opportunity God offers us to be evangelists, to be sowers and nourishers of those seeds and seedlings of faith, or every time I hear my Savior say to me, 'Go therefore and make disciples of all nations,' or 'You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world,' or I think about the words of the LWML pledge that talks about giving everything that I am and have to the great task of bringing the lost and the erring into eternal fellowship with Him, my worry level rises and I tremble. I tremble. I tremble." Or we might even say to God, "So Lord, as you bidst us leave the mount, confident that you will answer in the affirmative, my prayer that you will come with us to the plain, what do you have that will help me with this case of worry? How can I not tremble, tremble, tremble?" As we ask that question of our Heavenly Father, He responds by reminding us to look at the verses just before our text. But we might say, "They don't really apply to me that much because I'm not really worried about my life, that what I will eat or what I will drink, nor about my body, about what I will put on. No, in all these areas I have been blessed. My closet is bursting at the seams. It's hard for me to figure out which outfit to wear. And my fridge is also overflowing, so much so that foods are now spoiling and I have to toss them out because they're no longer fit for man or beast." We continue, "What really worries me, what continues to worry me, besides health issues and of me and some of those I love and problems with members of my family or issues I am having in a relationship, is that I seem to hear you calling to me and saying the time is now to come off the mountain and to go to the plain, out of the worship service and into a dark and sin-scarred world." We have the only answer, the only solution to that sin-darkened world, and yet it worries us to go out and to talk about it, to proclaim it to that sin-darkened world. Without a doubt, the time is now for the women of the LWML, as well as you and I, and every one of us, to use our God-given gifts and abilities to meet the challenges of sharing that good news with the world. To be perfectly honest, that is a huge responsibility, and it causes us concern, worry, and those moments of trembling. This is true as we look at the billions of people who need to hear the word of God's love poured out for them through faith in Jesus Christ. That it is time we consider where some of our friends and some of our family members are in their walk of faith. And we might make excuses to God. You know that those conversations are hard to have and on so many levels. It is hard to confront those with whom I am close in a way that will be perceived as loving. Do you allow your fear of not being perceived as loving prevent you from spreading the good news? We really do want to show them the error of their ways, but we fear that we might sound holier than thou. And it causes us to be afraid that we sound preachy. And so but we still strive to be this tool of the Holy Spirit, working through the means of grace to gently restore that person to a proper walk of faith in Christ Jesus. It is as we are dealing with these worries and countless others that may be the common plight of mankind or specific to each of us, that our Abba Father assures us in verse 32 of our text that He knows what we need and has promised that as we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, all these things will be given to us as well. And yet we continue to question God. I ask again, "Lord, what do you have to help me with my case of worry?" Well, let's begin with the scriptures as we seem to hear Him say, "The foundation of your security and the power to come off the mountain is found in my promise to you, of new life through faith in me and the eternal life that will one day be yours in heaven because of my perfect life, suffering and death in your place and my glorious resurrection 3 days later." And as St. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 15:20, Our brother Jesus Christ is the one who has been raised from the dead and is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. But we might again reply to God, that all sounds wonderful in theory. And I know that this is where my strength and assurance should be. But when and where the rubber meets the road, how can my focus change from fear to faithfulness, from worry to faith, so that I don't have to be anxious about food, drink, and clothes, and so that I can work for the Lord in His harvest field? Well, allow me to share with you three gems that our pastor who had prepared this found in the Scriptures. First of all, hear, believe, and find comfort that Jesus promised that His Father and yours will care for you just as He cares for the birds of the air, the lilies of the field, and even the grass of the field, the very grass of the field, which today is there and tomorrow will be thrown into the fire. And if you need an answer to that question at the end of those verses, the answer is a resounding yes. You have seen, heard, and experienced over and over again God's care for you, His providing hand in your life. A second, I want to share with you the certainty found in St. Paul's confession. As he, a sinner just like all of mankind, you and I included, also had to deal with many worries and concerns, including that thorn in the flesh, that messenger of Satan that was sent to harass him, that one that he prayed to God three times, take this messenger from me, this thorn from me. And yet then he heard those good words from God. And we also can hear those good words from God applying to our own thorns. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Let me share with you another well-known passage that you can apply to your worries. Hear the inspired words of Philippians 4, verse 13, where our Father in heaven assures us that as His forgiven, redeemed, restored children, we can boldly profess with St. Paul, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Some of you may have that as your confirmation verse, and here we have it again. And if I may share one more passage with you, especially when it comes to God's call to you to be out in the harvest field, away from the mountaintop, that He is with us daily. It would be the promise from the very lips of your Savior, as He said in Luke 12:11-12. And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, all of these promises are yours, even when we speak to the neighbor across the street, even when we have that friend at work, or sons or daughters whose walk in faith may be going astray. You get the point. We could spend all day talking about the Word of God and sharing with one another verses that give us comfort. But we know what's coming. That time when we will leave this service, we will leave this mountaintop, and the rubber will once again meet the road. We might think, though, yeah, in church, those verses all sound good, but out in the world, those verses too often sound so cliche. We hear them all the time, and yet we still continue to worry. Well, allow me to leave you with this thought. You and I have a Heavenly Father who does not just talk a good game. Don't worry, be happy is not His mantra. He backs up and follows through with His promises. He made promises to those of the Old Testament, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Elijah, and to Elisha, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Jonah, and all of the prophets of the Old Testament. He made promises to the apostles, and even to us as apostles of the New Testament era. And He keeps those promises 100% of the time. He acts on the admonition to seek first what is of utmost importance, promising that all of these other things we have been talking about will be given to us as well. God's promise throughout the ages is the same. Seek first the kingdom of God, that is, desire above all to live under the rule of the one true God, and His righteousness, which is the salvation which Christ Jesus has won for us and for all people on the cross of Calvary, and all these things will be added to you. That, my friends, is providing and coming through on a promise. And since you and I are united with his son in baptism, that very same washing we heard about at the beginning, and in hearing the word and receiving his very body and blood in communion, as we will in a few moments, we are being buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And for that very reason, we don't have to worry. Whenever and wherever God has need of us, we can be assured that that very Spirit, that same Holy Spirit that was in the apostles and the prophets of old, is alive and working in each of us, in each of you. In Jesus' name, amen.